Are your kitchen and bathroom remodels a little overdue? Well, now's your chance to call First Response Contracting. John Sellers will take care of you. 484-256-7136. They do residential and commercial, and they're licensed and insured. Give them a call at 484-256-7136. Hello there. This is Brad Wiseman. You're listening to Real Estate and You. We are doing a lot of different shows now on Real Estate and You. What's happening is it's becoming more of a channel with some different series within the channel. I'm really excited about this because, once again, I have Pete Himes sitting here with me, and we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. And it's called Pete's Point of View, which is what the show is going to be called. Mm-hmm. And we're going to bring this to you once a month. On a Thursday at 1 o'clock, first Thursday at 1 o'clock, right? Mm-hmm. Between 1 and 1:15. We don't want to be too prompt.
You don't
want to do that.
Somewhere in there.
Somewhere on a Thursday, somewhere in the month, we'll be here doing this.
We'll see.
So thanks for being here again as a guest. Really appreciate it. You have a bunch of stuff to talk about. I have some notes I wrote down.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to jump right into the thing that we talked about that I brought up right away. And then the rest, I know you have a lot of notes. I have notes. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking about before we actually went on air or online here was how our experience together is many, many years combined. And being able to give this information out to the public that they can use it to make great decisions. Pick the right realtor. And I'm not saying that's you or I. I'm saying, hey, you know, there's tons of other people out there that are doing a great job. So I think it's kind of it's kind of fun that we're doing this.
Yeah.
I look forward to doing this. So it's cool. So let's go right into the buyers. One of the things that has really changed is years ago, we used to go, hey, you know what? You're qualified for 240, but I'm going to go in up to 250 because, you know, you can come up a little, the seller can come down a little, and we'll meet in the middle, right?
Right.
Really tough to do that these days.
Can't do it.
You agree with me on that, right?
It's just not the way it is right now.
I know. And so what I've been realizing is if you're a buyer today in this market, I really think you should almost tone it down. So if you're approved for 240, you got to look at that as being your, when somebody says highest and best,
there it is.
That's your highest and best. That's it. So you almost have to back it down and look at houses at 225, 230, so that if need be, you can, you know, kick in the rocket booster and go to 240.
That's it.
Right?
Well, that's right. Because remember, I think we spoke about this last time. The new list price, the list price is the reserve price.
Interesting.
Auction. It's the bottom price.
Yeah, it's the start.
When was the last time you got an offer that was less than full price?
It hasn't happened for a while for me.
There it is.
Yeah.
So why would you go up to 250 when you're qualified for 240?
Yeah, I agree.
It's a total waste of your time, the buyer's time.
And it's also depressing.
It's depressing.
It is.
You're going to lose.
Yeah. And I think, that's part of our job is to build the expectation of the market that we have before us.
Absolutely.
Right? That's our job. Yeah. And it's sometimes I think when I do that, I feel like the buyer thinks I'm being negative or being pessimistic,
right?
But it's not. It's just where we are.
Yeah.
This is the market we have, and this is the market you're buying in, so we have to go about it accordingly.
Exactly right.
Right?
You know, and we feel your pain, buyers.
Absolutely.
We know that's frustrating right now. I mean, some are pulling their hair out, you know, just throwing offers in all the time and losing. We get it.
Yeah, it sucks. Last year, the most that I wrote for the same customer was eight different offers. They were in that price range. They were in that 2 to 240 Mifflin, Wilson, Wyo.
Sweet spot.
Yeah. And it was just, you know, finding that home, you're coming in with a gazillion other offers, you know, and it's, you know, when you see 20, this is the thing I always say, when you see 21 showings, that means there's 21 people right now in that market looking for a house that's
exactly right.
Right?
Yeah.
And only one's get it.
That's only one get
it. So there's 20 left over.
That's right.
It's amazing. So what else do you want to talk about here?
Okay. Well, listen, you know, my last video, we talked about numbers. I was talking about how important numbers are.
Very important.
And people's situations and how they relate. I did a little research because I'm a geek. And 24% appreciation if you've owned your home over the last 1 to 5 years.
24%.
Average.
That's incredible.
Obviously, if you only 1 year, that's not the case.
Right, 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 right.
So if you look at it 5 years from now, your average appreciation was 24%.
24%.
6 to 10. You ready? 40.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and if you bought a foreclosure over between the last 5 to 8 years ago, you're 40 plus.
Wow.
Because that's where this has gone.
Yeah. That's like stock market numbers or even better. Well, obviously better, right? Much better. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And yeah, because 6% average a year is for stock, I would think, right?
Average,
yeah,
average. Right. Average, right.
And that's exactly. Over a 20-year period.
Yeah, but you remember, yeah. Brad, you know, you've been doing this long enough to know the average appreciation in Berks County is 3%.
3%. That's what it used to always be.
Yeah.
And we were lucky if we got that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
lucky
absolutely.
If you got it.
Yep, absolutely. Jeez, so it's amazing.
Number. I know. And forbearance. Let's talk about forbearance a minute. Because, you know, the COVID thing, it put people in forbearance.
Yep.
I think everyone knows what that means. It's basically a workout plan with your mortgage company. And half of those people that were in forbearance are either paid off, caught up, or all good to go.
Really?
Yeah. The other half of those people are either...
Not caught up, not good to go.
No.
I was going to give a guess.
He's brilliant. The man's brilliant.
So what is up with the other half?
No, the other half have it worked out.
That's fantastic.
There is no news about that.
Well,
it's not negative.
It's not negative. I mean, come on.
Newspapers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting because we were all concerned about that.
Right.
We were all concerned that other 50%,
right.
Actually, maybe 70% of the whole thing was going to be foreclosures.
Yep.
Right?
So let's relate that now to those appreciation numbers. If all else fails.
Yeah.
And you're in forbearance.
Yeah.
Sell it.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to make money.
I've been saying that. Yeah,
you're not going to lose. This is not 2008.
This is the difference.
This is why
it's not a bubble.
It's not a bubble. It's a definitely low inventory gig.
Yeah. It's all about low inventory.
Yeah, it is.
It's amazing.
Now the predictions on sales this year, I mean, well, let's not go to a prediction. Let's do what the actual sales were. In January of 2020, five.
Need your glasses, I think. What you can't see on the podcast is he was squinting like crazy. So now he's got I used to do the back and forth, taking them off while I'm doing the show, and now I just leave them on.
It's always up to your friends to keep you honest.
I can't see.
Gosh, I hate reality. Anyway, January of 2020, we had 5.5 million sales in the United States.
Wow.
It dropped down in May to 3.7.
Okay.
2020.
Yep.
In the height of it, right?
Right.
It bumped back up in December to 5.9. Okay. Now, they're predicting this year.
Fannie,
Freddie,
yep.
NAR,
yep.
MBA. They're all saying seven.
Seven.
For this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, for this coming year. The appreciation rate in January of this year, all those institutions said it was going to be 5.3% appreciation this year.
For 2020, the prediction, right?
They just redid it. The average of all those, some of them were higher, 7.7. percent appreciation for 2021.
Wow.
This is not a bubble.
Nope.
This is a lack of inventory, a lack of supply.
Yep.
And a high demand. That's all this is.
Yep.
So with all that said, what does this mean? What does this all mean?
And what does that mean?
What does it mean?
What does that mean, Pete?
Well, what it means.
This is called Pete's point of view. What the hell is your point of view? What is your point of view?
I do have a point of view about this. If there's any chance that you were actually even thinking about selling.
Yeah.
You're going to capitalize.
Yeah.
And you know what the number one Google search is right now for real estate? When is the market going to crash?
Wow.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
It's on there.
So that's the thing in their mind. They're thinking this is just 2006 all over again.
It is. And it's not.
No, it's not the same setup.
No.
It's not the same setup.
Right.
Yeah, and this is where we have to look at history in order to educate ourselves to not have those things happen again. And that's why when everybody started saying that maybe a year and a half ago or a year before even COVID, you know, when's this next bubble? Is it going to go to appreciation, all this stuff? But look at the setup. The setup is completely different.
Yeah.
There's nothing else wrong with this market.
No.
Except for inventory. That's it.
Interest rates.
Interest rates are fantastic.
What were interest rates in 2008?
I don't remember.
A lot higher.
Yeah, I think they were. Probably 5%.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So we beat that horse to a pulp. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but the point of all that is you got to check out your own situation.
Yeah.
You know, and some of the biggest objections we've been getting is, well, where are we going?
Yeah, that is the
what
big objection. That's a huge objection.
There's ways.
It's not even rent either. Rent's even, it's hard to find a rental place.
It is hard to find, but that is an option.
Very hard. It is.
Or do a rent back.
Rent back is very, becoming more popular.
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely.
So you talked about, okay, so the multiple offer thing. Can I make a comment about that?
Yes. Is this the unrealistic offers you talked about?
Yeah.
Let's go into unrealistic offers. Yeah, I just love that term. Unrealistic offers.
There's
a ton of those right now.
Yes.
So this should be the unrealistic market. We'll just call it the unrealistic market.
Totally unrealistic.
Yeah. We call it It's the market.
Oh, my God.
There we go.
This guy, man. We're having fun anyway.
Yeah, it's a good time.
It's a blast, man. So, okay. Brad knows this better than anybody. We get multiple offers on every deal now.
Yeah.
And some of them are way higher.
Yeah.
Way higher. Here's what I think.
Give me way. House is listed at 250. Okay. What's way?
330.
Wow. That's way.
And this has happened.
Yeah, well, I know.
Okay, and you know this.
Yes, it is.
Brad, if you and I would have thought that house would have sold for 330, we would have put it there.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, probably. Right. We're close to it. Yeah,
we ran the comps.
Yeah. We know it won't appraise.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there's a good point. It's not going to appraise.
Yep.
Okay. However, if you're seduced by the number and you don't have, I mean, I'm not going to say any realtors would advise one way or another here, wrong or whatever, but some might just not know.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
And you're a fairly new seller, so you don't know how this is working.
Mm-hmm.
With the no appraisal thing, if you chose that unrealistic, way out of whack number, and there's an appraisal contingency, or if there's not a appraisal contingency and they don't have the funds to make up the difference, guess what? Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner, you're coming down.
Yep.
And you're probably coming down to the point that was worse than all the other 11 offers that you had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have the agent and you go over each offer, and it might not be the highest
number. I've been saying that through this whole market, Pete. We think a lot alike.
Yep.
Is it's not just about the price. You got to look at everything because, you know, it's all about the least amount of contingencies.
Yep.
Least amount of liability. Mm-hmm. And with that, then the best price.
Best price that's fair. After that,
highest price.
No.
Best price.
Higher fair.
Yeah, exactly.
But not whacked.
Exactly.
That's whacked.
And you know what's funny? Getting back to one of the things, when you said it, I wanted to mention something that realtors and sellers have to be very aware of. When it does come in low and they have no appraisal contingency, and you mentioned it, and they don't have the money to fill that gap. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of agents now, when they're buyer agents that are writing offers and they're not putting the appraisal contingency in, thinking, oh, we'll see what happens, whatever. If it was me, if I'm representing the seller, I would strongly suggest, just like when we have a cash deal, I ask for bank statements or an investment account that shows, you can black out the numbers and all that stuff, but I want to see the person's name and I want to see the money.
Yep.
I want to know it's there, because when you're talking $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 difference from an appraisal, I want proof that the cash is in the bank.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not just, oh yeah, we'll figure it out. No. I want to know it's in there.
Well,
so
when you're doing VA, when you need a $340,000 mortgage on a $330 price, there's no money there.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, they don't have it.
Right. So there you go. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
So you can almost assume every time you get either a Govy.
Yep.
Or what you guys know what a Govy is, an FHA deal or a VA. Most of the time people use those because they don't have enough cash to bridge a gap.
Yeah.
You know? But it's good to ask always, every time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just think it was something, I just wanted to bring up when you said it, I'm thinking this is something that we can do to try and, once again, less liability in the transaction, making sure the money's there.
Yeah.
You know, same with cash, man, make sure, don't just take a cash offer and go, yeah, we believe you.
No,
I got to just see bank statement. I got to see something.
Oh, absolutely. You know?
Got to see something.
So. Yeah. So, and some of the fun things a buyer can do, though, is like, I've had somebody like rent back. They offered the seller to do a rent back because they needed to find a house, and my people were in a rent. That was fine. They offered to walk their dogs while they look for houses.
Are you kidding me? Walk the dog.
Yeah, they come over and walk the dog for them so they could go out and look at houses.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
That's kind of fun. It's
creative.
It's creative and cute, and it's not hurting anybody. It's great. You
know, what about the letters?
The letters happen all the time.
The letters are happening left and right.
I'm on the fence about the letters.
So am I.
It does work for some sellers, though.
Well, and you know, it does. It does. But I think almost what I'm telling my sellers about the letters, and what we're talking about, is when a buyer brings in an offer, sometimes they'll put in a nice little letter of kind of just like if you want to call it a resume of who they are.
A pleading.
It's tugs at your heartstrings. You just have to be careful of those, because, you know, anybody can write a sad story, You know, it's the only thing you have to be careful
with. Well, they should make sure they got the right address on the letter too, because I did
you kidding me? So that means they used the same letter several times. That is a good one. That's good. That's almost like when I give somebody a wine bag, like the paper one, and it has the tag on from the last person that gave it to me. I've done that. I have seriously done that.
Oh my God, that's so
funny. It's very embarrassing.
Oh yeah.
Very embarrassing.
I've done that. Yeah.
But getting back to, we're talking about the buyers and stuff. Is there anything else you want to bring up that we didn't talk about that we talked about in the beginning?
Just about the active inventory again. And yeah. You know, you've been preaching this too.
Yep.
I mean, I just checked before we came in here and it was 357 active listings in Berks County. I took the new construction.
But then you always go a step further.
I always do.
This is the step further. Give that number. Then you always go further, which is interesting.
And the reason why I like to take the new construction models out is because they're not houses yet.
Right.
So they're really nothing that you can actually buy right now. You can buy it, but you got to wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
When you take that out of the equation, it's 272. If you take the city out, I mean, the only reason why I take the city out is because it's a lot of homes in a small area. I just want to get a county feel.
Right.
If you get a county feel, I think it sometimes it helps.
Yeah.
And that number's 207.
That's unbelievable.
And Brad, we're used to 2000, right?
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
On a balanced market.
Absolutely. So. That's crazy. You know, I just piggyback on that. I did a search the other day, and I think I told John Gerhardt when I was doing the search, it was, I did 300 to 400,000 in Wilson schools. I think it was 300 to 400. That actually might've been 300 to 450.
Were there any?
Two. One was coming soon and one was active. Isn't that crazy?
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. Yeah. So,
wow.
I think we're going to end the show at that.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
So, Pete, you're going to come back. You're going to come back every first Thursday of the month,
right? Yes, sir. Yep.
And we're going to talk more about the numbers. We're going to dig in. And as things are changing in this market, we can keep people up to date of what's happening, share our knowledge, and maybe have a little bit of fun in between. First Thursday of every month. Out between 1 and 1:15, we'll be live stream, and then we're also going to do, obviously, the podcast, which goes out to tons of places.
Yeah.
Just so you know, you can find this podcast pretty much, I think it's 18 different podcast channels is what it's on. And just look up Real Estate and You, and you'll find it.
Awesome. Thanks,
All right.
Yeah, hey, man.
Thank you.
See
Appreciate
you next month,
it.
Brother.
Yep.
Take care.